This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
We haven't discussed this, so I don't know your guys' take, and you could ream all over me. It's a possibility. I cannot listen. Excuse me? You're going to what all over you? Ream. Okay. That's real sketchy. Only someone whose mind lives in the gutter would have stopped me for that.
No, because I was thinking the same thing, Dave.
One letter and we're doing a completely different show. One letter.
This is DCR.
Okay.
Can I continue along with my point? I can't listen to people. I cannot listen. Would you shut up? What is the matter with you?
On 98.7 ESPN.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine.
Hanging pictures on my wall. Oh, the big 7 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on DCR, PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. I got to tell you, Chris, this might be the least excited I've ever been to talk to David Quinn. I love the coach of the Rangers, but after that disaster a couple nights ago, I'm hurt. I'm a little bit broken after the loss to the Islanders.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good when we lose to those guys, Dave. But listen, we're not out of it just yet. It's not over.
It's slipping.
It's getting late early. it's getting late early, but yeah. You know. Listen, I don't want to discount it, and it's never a bad time to talk to Quinny.
No,
never a bad time.
He's wonderful. Even Rick, who hates the Rangers, really enjoys the David Quinn conversation, right?
I love it. Yeah, but you guys are out of it. Stop, please.
7:35 this morning. Okay, out of it. Maybe would you not say that the Rangers' future is unbelievably bright?
Yeah, I think the Rangers' future is bright.
See, it pains you. You can't even say it, can you?
No, it doesn't pain me. I mean, there are some things that need to be improved, and I don't know if they have the personnel to improve it. Like, there needs to be some grit added to this team.
And you don't think that will change at some point in the next year?
You tell me. I mean, they had Lemieux. He didn't want to be here, so they traded him. Even when AV was the coach, they don't have no grit. They draft really skilled players, but they don't have. I mean, you tell me who's the physical presence on your
team?
They
don't really have it right now, but they'll make
okay.
The change. They'll make the you don't trust the management for the Rangers right now, John Davidson. You don't trust the Rangers brass. Come on,
yeah, I do, but I mean, I'm gonna have to see it first before I buy into what you're selling me.
Fair enough, but they are heading in the right direction. Anyhow, David Quinn is going to join us at 7:35 this morning. I'm sure you're going to give him a hard time. It'll be uncomfortable and it'll be must listen to radio. Right? You're going to be mean to him, I imagine.
No.
You'll give him a... Yeah, come on. You're not going to make mention of what happened a couple days ago?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you got throttled by the Islanders. Of course I'm going to mention it.
Yeah, of course.
You'd lose respect for me if I didn't.
No, I wouldn't. I think you were a good man.
Stop yourself.
I would.
Well, that's only because you're a Rangers fan and you don't want to bring up the hurt. It should. You got beat down.
No,
you got a beat
terrible.
Down.
It's terrible. You know what the thing that stinks about it so much? They're playing so well. Right?
Devils.
So what? But they beat the Islanders the game before they started playing the Devils. Then they lost in overtime to the Islanders. Like, they were getting points in every single game. And the Islanders couldn't put the puck in the net. And then they hammered the Rangers. Awful.
Just needed a quick game against the Rangers to break out.
Yeah. Great.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
7:35. See, this is why. Shouldn't even have teased it.
You brought it up.
David Quinn. I had to. He's joining us in half an hour.
No, I know. But we could have just... I would have glossed right past it. Oh, Quinny's coming on great. You wanted to get into it. Trying to flex your hockey show muscles. I see what you're doing. Oh, look at me. I can go so in-depth in hockey now.
Look at me. I'm so jealous that Rothenberg is on a hockey show. Look at me. I just can't handle it. Big baby. You do realize that in any other division, the Rangers would be a playoff team right now, right?
Listen, they're in the Mass Mutual, buddy.
You know what they say about the Mass Mutual?
Yes.
They said
toughest division
years.
In hockey.
All right, the Knicks. Again, what a win. 4 seed in the Eastern Conference right now. I never had a moment last night where I was like, oh God, I'm angry, I'm upset. I was a little frustrated that they fell behind, that their defense wasn't great, but I always believed that the Knicks are going to find their way back into a game. That, I think, is the big difference this year. I always believe now. I always believe. And you have that right now, and they did it again last night. And even when Bogdanovich hits the three to send it to overtime, and the Knicks have that play for Randle, and they don't score, and it goes to overtime. Chris, I always thought they were going to win that game, and they did last night.
Well, you have confidence in this team, Dave, because they're competitive in every single game, and of late, they've found ways to execute down the stretches of games, whether it be at the end of regulation or in overtime, and find ways to be able to win. Like, this team has shown you that, and Julius Randle has played like an all-star caliber player. And you've seen that. Like yesterday in overtime, the fact that he was able to facilitate and got the ball to Reggie Bullock in the corner for a jump shot, and then he got it to Nerlens Noel for a point-blank scoring opportunity. Like, and then him being able to knock down that three-pointer, that just shows you he's capable of having the offense run through him and for this Knicks team to play winning basketball. Like, we've seen that. He's proven that over and over again. But now the difference in the second half has been you're starting to see more and more guys come along and be that secondary option for this team. And last night it was Emmanuel Quickley who made some big-time plays in the fourth quarter and overtime as well. So all in all, you got to like where this Knicks team is at. And it feels like with each game that they tack on to this win streak, they're gaining more and more confidence.
Yeah, and it's not just the win streak, too. I mean, obviously, I mean, 8 in a row is unbelievable. The fact that they're in fourth is amazing, especially this late into the season. It's just, I mean, it's right in front of your eyes as you watch this team from where they started to where they're at now. And I mean, everything. I mean, Chris, you brought up the execution late in games, which they struggle with. That was a problem. We were having conversations. I mean, they'd be losing close games. They'd be blowing leads, and it's like, oh, they just can't execute.
They're
finding a way to do that. Their shooting is night and day, especially from three, is night and day. Hit 19 threes last night. 19. Julius Randle, 6 threes. You know, Bullock, 6 threes. I mean, we know Quickley, I mean, what he can do from three. D. Rose was good last night. The two big guys have been great. I mean, they're all finding ways to chip in. And, I mean, this has been without Alec Burks, too, who turned into, like, their go-to guy down the stretch in games. So, I mean, with how hard this team plays, with the amount of fun that they have, and you can see it, I mean, it's tangible. Like, this is a team that enjoys playing with each other. They enjoy being each other's teammates.
Yep.
They work their butts off during games, at practice, after games. And the fact that Quickley was out there after last night's game, knowing you're going into a back-to-back, getting up extra shots, working on his threes. I mean, this team is 100% completely bought in. And I guess the question now would be, would you be at all surprised if they finish finish fourth or fifth? Let's just say fourth or fifth.
Okay.
Because you're now avoiding the top three in the East. Would you be surprised if they won a first-round playoff series?
No.
No, I would not. You don't think that they could beat a Boston or a Miami? And I understand that those teams are more talented, but people have doubted the Knicks all year. Well, it's just the start. They got off to a good 15 games, and they'll come back to the means. Or, well, you know, at halfway through the season, but the second half of their schedule is brutal and they'll never be able to, you know, match that and it's going to fall apart. Well, you know, they play these teams without their best players. Well, there's 12 games left in the season, guys. And they're sitting here in the four spot right now. So I will say this, I doubt them for nothing. Are they going to win a championship? Of course not. But realistically, can they get the four seed? Why not? Can they beat one of those teams? Why not? I will go this far. I have nothing negative to say about the Knicks. Nothing. Absolutely nothing negative to say about the Knicks right now.
No, I mean, the only thing I guess you could, I mean, if you want to be like super nitpicky was, I mean, the last play of regulation wasn't well executed.
It was not.
Like, you didn't even get a shot off. Like, Randle didn't even get a shot off. That's not what you want in that situation, but, I mean, that's being
very,
super,
but very they came nitpicky, out
and,
yeah.
and hammered Atlanta in the overtime.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I would say the exact same thing that you would, but yeah, I mean, you know those people on Twitter and everything else. But what about that last play?
On the last play,
that was an awful last play.
Thibodeau has no idea what kind of play
you guys are just lucky.
They won the damn game. What about the beginning of overtime when they started on a 10-0 run?
That's right.
What about that?
And ended that.
You guys were just lucky. Trey Young got hurt. That's why you guys won, because Trey Young.
You know what? That's fine.
No, this team gets lucky an awful lot because they're in the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, and they're making this push in the second half of the season where everybody said, well, this is when NBA teams are going to start taking it seriously. We got to dismiss what the Knicks did in the first half because all these other teams are coming off the bubble. It's taking them some time to get going. Well, I mean, you can't say that now. Like, the Knicks have won 8 in a row when these other teams in the Eastern Conference are trying their damnedest to catch them in the standings. Like, that's happening right now. So don't be dismissive of what's happening, what we're seeing with the Knicks right now. This is a good basketball team. It's not the most talented basketball team, but the way that they play, makes them a tough out for anybody.
Let's go to Joe in Staten Island. Good morning, Joe. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm pumped. This is the most fun I've had watching this team since 2012, 2013. I love that guys are stepping up. Noel gets hit hard. He comes back. Huge block in the fourth quarter. Derrick Rose has stepped up quickly again, like you guys said, making big plays in the fourth. This is a fun team to watch. This is just awesome, guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's well said. I mean, that, you echoed everything that Dave usually says about the Knicks.
The Knicks really are great. I love watching this team.
You know what's crazy about this whole thing, though? I mean, we said that this would be a successful season for the Knicks if they were flirting with 30 wins.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the potential to be flirting with 40 wins, Dave.
And the four seed. If I'd have told you before the season.
It's unbelievable.
That the Knicks are going to win 30 games, 28 games, and get the 10 seed. You would have said, sign me up.
That's a win.
What a great job Thibodeau has done, right?
Yeah.
That's what you would have said about him.
Completely turned it around. That's what I would have said.
And if I tell you today that they're in the playoff, whatever that's called, the play-in tournament, you'd be very disappointed.
Yeah, expectations have changed, Dave. It's changed. Like, we've recalibrated. Like, we've bought into what this team is doing because they've shown us that they're worthy of our trust. Like, you can believe in what the Knicks are doing right now. We have a large enough sample size. I mean, what are we, 60 games in? I mean, we've seen enough of it to say, you know what, I can trust this team. I know they're going to compete every night. I know they're going to play good defense. Of late, I know they're going to shoot well. 19 made threes last night. The night before that, 18 made threes. Like, I can believe in what this team is doing. And so, yeah, down the stretch, this is going to be a tough out. I've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks. I know they got this six-game road trip out west that's going to be tough. But, I mean, there are a lot of teams that are on that schedule that aren't looking forward to playing the Knicks either.
Absolutely not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I actually feel sympathetic towards you. And I want to bring this up quickly before we get to the calls on Thibodeau and the Knicks. It occurred to me moments ago, I was talking to RJ about when he became a Knicks fan and seeing teams win championships, and Santiago chimes in and he goes, you know, the only team I've never seen win a title is the Knicks. And it occurred to me, you've never really seen one of your teams that you root for win a title, have you?
No. No, just the Dinos in the KBO, that's it.
Right, which is as good as that is. I mean, you've never seen the Jets win. You've never seen the Knicks win. You've never seen the Mets win. And then they start saying, well, he was alive when the Mets won. How old were you in 86?
I was 5.
Yeah, so please, guys, stop with that. And the Islanders, who were great, you were what, 2 when they last won?
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't even, at that point, wouldn't even have known, you know?
Right. So my point is, you've never experienced a team that you root for winning a championship.
Never. Not one time.
I hope you get one.
Oh, look at how nice you are.
I mean,
why are you buttering me up right now?
Because
Because you think it's going to be one of the teams that we both root for.
Because maybe it'll be the Mets. Yeah.
maybe
by you getting. I got a 50-50 chance here. If it's the Knicks or the Mets, I win as well.
So, I mean, this was the run to the World Series was.
With the closest you got?
Well, not even the closest. I mean, it was the most enjoyable. Because I was actually at all those games. That was the most enjoyable period of time I've had as a New York sports fan. Like being in front of Matt's, being at the gate, you know what I mean? Like having them over the house, going to the game, watching them pit, like being at Citi Field, like the energy, it was crazy, man. It was almost like, you know that picture of you in the suite with Rucco where you're dumping red wine all over the place?
Yes.
That's what it was like. Like you think I get nervous doing stuff for the show, like doing brackets and opens and everything else? Dude, sitting there watching him pitch in a moment like that was more nervous than when I played.
I understand. I thought I was having a heart attack during a Giants-Cowboys game a couple of years back.
But it's amazing because I guess part of it is because you have no control. Like really, I mean, you have no influence on what's happening.
None.
During the game. So, you're helpless, but it's like, I mean, it's just, that was really the most, as far as being a fan, period, of anything. Like, that was... that was the most emotionally involved I was.
And it's amazing, isn't it? How good is the feeling when your team is rolling along? Your team didn't even win and lost in heartbreaking fashion, and it's still amazing, isn't it?
It's the reason that you're a fan.
Yep, it absolutely is. All right, we threw out the question before. Coach of the year, Tom Thibodeau. Yes, no, maybe. 800-919-3776. I got to tell you guys, I'm at the point where if you told me he won it, I don't think he will, but if you told me he won it, I wouldn't say, God, that's awful job by the voters. I wouldn't. Matt in Westchester. Matt, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you guys for having me on. It's always a pleasure. You guys are fantastic in the morning. So I just wanted to say, emphatically, it's a yes for me. I mean, you look at this particular roster, it really hasn't changed significantly. We haven't done much with the roster over the last, 2 years. The biggest change has really come at the coaching position. I think from game one of the preseason till now, this was a team that I thought had a chance to win like 35 games. I wish I had that time back. I would have went to Vegas and put something down on it, because who knew that that's exactly how it would play out. But you saw the competitive spirit, I think, from the preseason. I find it hard to believe with the entire NBA, a lot of players talking about the Knicks as being a team they don't want to face, coaches recognizing the team's, kind of the way they play and how they're a struggle to play against. I think Thibodeau should be an emphatic yes, and I would love to know why other coaches really do hold the candle this year to this particular performance by Tom Thibodeau.
Well, it's how it's voted on. I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. It's usually, a team that finishes, first or second in their conference.
Let me ask you this question. Is it more impressive to you if Utah or Phoenix finish first and Quinn Snyder or Monty Williams wins Coach of the Year, or if the Knicks finish fourth in the Eastern Conference? What would be, and I'm being serious, what would be a more impressive feat to you?
Well, Monty Williams did with the Suns. If they finish first in the Western Conference, yeah, I would say that's more impressive. I think they were like 10th or 12th last year, something like that, in the West. If the Phoenix Suns finish at the top of the Western Conference, yeah, I would say that's more impressive than what Tibbs has done with the Knicks. But that's not to take away from what the Knicks are. Like, the Knicks are a really good basketball team. They're well coached, and they're a well-run organization now. It's not the dysfunction in the front office of years past. Like, Leon Rose is in lockstep with the head coach, and some of the best moves that they made are the moves they didn't make, showing a level of restraint before the season and at the trade deadline, knowing exactly what this team was and believing in the program that they were building, that they could become the team that we're seeing right now on the court. Like, I just feel like everything in the organization is headed in a positive direction. But with that being said, I still don't think it's the same as what we've seen from the Suns with Monty Williams.
Fair enough. But you just said it, Rick. He just said the Knicks are the same team they were last year, right? The same exact team, really, for the most part. I mean, they had Derrick Rose and whatever.
Quickly.
Quickly, sure. But they're pretty much the same team. The Suns added, Chris Paul,
yeah.
The Suns added a all-time great player who's still playing at a very, very high level.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I get exactly what you're saying. I just, again, it's the reality of what's going to happen. I mean, Thibs is right there for me, what he's been able to do. And I mean, we get a firsthand look every night we turn on the Knicks and how this team is overachieving. But, I mean, when you look at what Phoenix has done, and a lot of that has to do with Chris Paul, but Monty Williams is going to get a lot of the credit too.
And he deserves a lot of the credit. Don't get me wrong. If Monty Williams wins the award, I'm not going to bat an eye. I'm not.
And the Western Conference is a lot better than the Eastern Conference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what this guy has done is shocking in year one. Mo in Brooklyn. Mo, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think Fibs, hands down, gets Coach of the Year, not just because of the wins and the performance on the court, but for the last 10 years, all we've been hearing is the Knicks need a culture change, and that takes 3 years for that to happen. That's why Fizdale was allowed to be the coach as long as he was. This guy came in, and day one set the tone that losing is not acceptable, and lack of effort is not acceptable. He sacked guys if they didn't give him effort on the court. Defense first, and everything else, all the positive results flow from there. And he did that in day one, starting from the preseason. I think just because of that, he's hands down Coach of the Year. But we've been hearing about culture for years. Knicks need a culture change. Knicks need a culture change. And, preaching patience for the fans. You got to give Phil Jackson a 5-year contract because he needs the time to change the culture. Boom. Thibs comes in, And culture change is almost immediate. So just because of that, I think he should win Coach of the Year.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I would agree with everything you're saying. Like, it doesn't usually happen as quickly as it's happened with the New York Knicks. But as far as who's going to win the award, I mean, Phoenix is in a tougher conference. They got 42 wins. I mean, they're a game and a half back of Utah right now.
The best record in the NBA.
Those would be the two teams that I would point to. Thibs deserves votes. But it's going to be Snyder or Williams that ends up winning it.
I would agree. Okay, let me ask you this. At worst case, is he third in Coach of the Year voting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Worst case, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who else would you have on that list? Doc Rivers? He'll get votes with Philly.
Yeah, but
he's getting the best out of Joel Embiid. Well, but he's getting the best out of Joel Embiid.
He's getting the best out of Joel Embiid.
That's why we brought him there.
We got a break because we got David Quinn coming up in a second. In my mind, Thibodeau has done a better job than Doc Rivers.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
This will not be easy, this conversation that we're about to have. And I know Rick's going to give you a hard time. I will not. It pained me probably as much as it pained you the other night. But let me ask you this. What happened? I mean, you guys are playing such great hockey, and you go out there and just really, for lack of a better term, you know, wet the bed against the Islanders, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was really disappointing, and, you know, obviously, you know, the game didn't start the way we needed it to, and obviously with Trouba going down the way he did, it was very reminiscent of what happened in the bubble when the very first shift against Carolina, we lost Jesper Fast, and, you know, our team just didn't react the way we needed it to, and, you know, we played well against the Islanders lately and felt good going in the game. It's just one of those games that got away from us, and it was really a tough night for sure. And give them credit, they played really well, but the game got away from us, and we just didn't respond the way I thought we needed to once we lost Trouba, and you could just feel it on the bench. And we've got to learn to handle moments like that a little bit better than we did. And you know, we're going to get another crack at him here coming up, but we've got a huge one tonight against Philly.
And Coach, I would imagine Trouba's obviously not going to play tonight. I would imagine.
Right. Yeah, it won't be in tonight. Yeah.
Okay. So a game like that, right? I mean, you bring up the bubble and what happened in the bubble. I mean, is it a certain style? I mean, you mentioned the team going too much east and west, kind of not going north and south. Islanders kind of playing their, you know, playoff brand of hockey. Is that game something you would point to and show the guys as a learning tool to illustrate the kind of hockey that you're going to need to play if and when you do get to the playoffs?
Yeah, and it's something we've talked about. It's a lot we've talked about the balancing act of, you know, we've got guys that are offensively minded players that have been productive and, you know, have had good careers. But, you know, when you play a certain team or you're getting to that this time of the season when it is a little bit tighter and, you know, you're playing playoff-type hockey. You know, it's different hockey. It's just different hockey. And, you know, we've got to find that balance of allowing our skill to influence a game when we also play a little bit more, a lot more north-south. It just has to be in our game. And it has to be a balancing act of playing the right way and also allowing your skill to influence a game. And, you know, we've had some games we've scored 8 goals, 9 goals, and sometimes that, as fun as it is and as great it is, sometimes you can... You know, it can be a little bit detrimental when you get in the situations that we had the other night against the Islanders. But that being said, a week ago, we played 2 really good games against the Islanders. We went down there and took 3 out of 4 points. So, you know, we have done it in the past, and we've just got to find a way to do it consistently through these last 10 games.
Coach, I know you got to focus on controlling what you can control, but how frustrating is it looking at the landscape of your division and knowing that if you were playing in another division in hockey, you would have the potential to be in the playoffs at this start of the day? That's got to be a frustrating feel knowing that your team is playing really, really well, but you're really not making up any ground because the other teams that are ahead of you are winning games too.
Yeah, I mean, someone actually brought – I didn't really realize that. Someone brought that up last week when we were kind of, you know, sitting around just talking hockey and talking about our situation, and I wasn't even aware of that. But you know, it is. There's nothing we can do about that. Like you said, you control what you can control. We do feel like we've done a lot of good things this year. You know, putting ourselves in this position, and you know, we had a lot of adversity this year. Some stuff that's happened that a lot of teams haven't had to endure. Obviously, COVID has been something we've all had to deal with, but. you know, we've had some situations with the D'Angelo situation, the Panarin situation, that have been a couple of outliers. Our guys have done a good job handling it and managing it and, you know, keeping our season in focus and again, you know, having a really good stretch here the last 6 weeks. So, you know, we've got to really, you know, learn from what happened two nights ago, move past it, and focus on what we've got in front of us here because, you know, we've still got meaningful hockey to be played.
The head coach of the Rangers, David Quinn, with us here on 98.7 ESPN. I know as a coach you can't look at the big picture and say 10 games left, but if you were to and when you kind of do, I mean, you almost have to play flawless hockey here down the stretch, I would imagine, right? Of a possible 20 points, you have to get, what, you have to go 9-1, something in that range, get 18, 19 points remaining here?
Yeah, I'm sure that is, you know, with the obviously the situation we're in, maybe we do, but, you know, you can't look at it that way. You just got to look at playing the Flyers tonight. I mean, it's you can't look at the big picture in the situation that we're in. You just got to, you know, focus on the game, and I know that may be coach talk, but it's the truth, and it really is the only way to manage the situation we're in, and, you know, we've got to come ready to play against the Flyers because, you know, if we don't take care of business tonight, anything that happens after tonight's irrelevant. So we've really got to be narrow-minded and focused and, you know, and taking each game as it is, as it lies in front of us. And, you know, that's what we'll do tonight.
Coach, you know what's amazing, too, is, you know, when you look at where you guys are at and obviously the different things, the, you know, COVID and Panarin and all those different things that you guys have dealt with, I mean, I'm sitting here, and I looked at the stat the other day because it's one of the stats I think, you know, a lot of people look to is goal differential with how a team, you know, is expected to perform wins and losses wise. I mean, before that last Islanders game, you guys were plus 33, which I mean, you guys are still the best plus, you know, goal differential in the Mass Mutual in the East. I mean, it's
right.
It's I don't know what it is, but I mean, it's with numbers like that, you guys should be, I mean. You guys should, in all honesty, probably should have won more games than where you're at right now with how many, you know, how you've played.
Well, it's been funny because, you know, I looked, I think we're one of the top scoring teams in the NHL right now. And I think after the first 6-7 weeks, we were one of the lowest scoring teams in the league. So we've really, in the last 6 or 7 weeks, our goal output has been, you know, at the top of the league. And, you know, it's just been, you know, we were playing different type of hockey early. I mean, we were playing good hockey, really good structured defensive hockey. Not defensive, playing good defensively, but also, you know, getting chances offensively. We just weren't scoring. And, you know, we were losing games we felt like we should have won. And we all felt that if we play this way and get back to having our offensive flair, we're gonna be a tough team to beat. And then we started scoring a lot of goals and, you know, our guys start feeling good, which is what we need. I mean, that's who we are. That's how we're built. I mean, we're just not built like the Islanders. That's not the you know, we're not from a size standpoint, from a veteran standpoint, for the way we're just very different teams. And, you know, but we do have to find that balance of being good structurally defensively and being, you know, responsible defensively, but also letting the top players play and give them some offensive freedom. And like I said, we have found that balance for the most part moving over the last 6 weeks. But you do, I mean, the goal difference, I think we had the fifth best goal differential in the NHL, let alone the best goal differential in our division. And to be out of the, it is an outlying statistic for sure. And it has been that type of season.
Yeah, it figures that this year would be that kind of year, the way the whole world has gone. Yeah. Coach, we appreciate you. Good luck the next couple of games. Hopefully we talk to you next week when things are back to rolling for the Rangers. We appreciate it as always.
That's right. All right, guys. Great talking to you.
Good stuff. That, of course, is David Quinn. You were pretty good. I'll give you credit. You didn't rub it into him. You were kind. So.
Well, you could hear it in his voice. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why we love him so much is that he doesn't, you know, he's not going to come on and pretend everything is great.
No, it was terrible the other night.
And you can hear it in his voice. Like he's still probably thinking about it.
Yeah, but if that was me, you'd destroy me. Like if I sounded like that after the Giants loss, you'd pour salt into the wounds. And with him,
well, you didn't play in the game.
Well,
you
don't think it bothers me as much as it bothers him?
Nothing.
I hope not.
Oh my God.
Well, with Rothenberg, you never know, Rico,
never know.
Especially when it comes to the Giants.
Yeah, that's probably a good point. I mean, Dave is right there. Like he is as close to an athlete as far as how an athlete feels about a loss. Dave is right.
I promise
right there.
I promise you that it pains me the losses more than many of the athletes.
I would agree yeah. with that. And the moment that kind of crystallized that for me, Dave, is a couple of years ago, the Giants played on a Monday night early in the season against the Lions, and they lost that game.
And you
lost it. Like, you lost your mind the next day. And I was just like, this dude is... His fandom is on another level. I don't know that I've ever seen a fan that is as crazed as you are when it comes to your team.
Frenetic, yeah. That was the David Quinn Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Stop in or they'll come to you for an at-home test drive. You can visit pepeautogroup.com to shop all their luxury brands and the Macallan Double Cask 12-Year-Old Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, the perfect balance of American and European sherry. Season Oak Cask, Two Worlds, One Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. 800-919-3776. Let's get back to the Knicks. Guess who's going to be on? I'm sure you've looked and you pretend that you don't and you'll get it right on the first guess. But guess who's going to be on KJZ right at the start of the show at 8 o'clock? Big Ooh. Knicks fan. I'll give you that as a hint. Big Knicks fan. Jan Blachowicz. No?
Yes.
Jan.
Is it?
Blachowicz. He's a huge Knicks fan, Jan Blachowicz. Yeah.
Huge Knicks fan. Is it Jerry Ferrara?
See, you're the worst. Why do you do this?
Oh, look at what has happened.
Like, you could have gone Ben Stiller. You could have gone Spike Lee. You could have gone Michael Rappaport. You go right to Jerry Ferrara because you looked.
You're a cheater. The rundown. RJ did such a great job on the rundown. It's just sitting here right on my screen.
You couldn't help but look at it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you almost pushed me to it. Like, you know, you said, you know, I know you'll cheat anyway, so why am I going to fight it at that point?
Let me ask you this. Before I said that, did you know that it was Ferrara, or you looked when I said don't look?
No, I look because at that point, I have what's my choice? It's a lose-lose. If I don't look and I guess it right, you're still going to think I cheated, so I might as well just get it right and cheat.
No, if you hemmed and hawed and stammered through an answer, maybe guessed Woody Allen or somebody like that, no, I would have felt like at least he's playing the game honestly.
No, but listen to what I'm saying, though. If I had guessed wrong, you win. I'm wrong.
Right.
But had I just randomly out of nowhere, like if you gave me one more clue.
That's right.
If
you would have just randomly said, big Knicks fan, 8 o'clock, KJZ, Jerry Ferrara, Turtle, I would have said you cheated. You're right.
That's exactly. Correct. So I don't get the benefit of the doubt. So I'm like, yeah, screw it. I'm just going to cheat.
How can we give him the benefit of the doubt when he outed himself cheating a couple weeks ago?
That's true, Rico. You did do that a couple of weeks ago. Like, you can't come out and said, I know that this was, in fact, the right answer because I looked at it. I looked it up.
You can't do that
and expect that we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt in this situation.
So I embraced it. That's what I'm saying. So I embraced it. Why am I going to fight it?
So now you're just a cheater. On the show, you are. It is Rick DiPietro, number one pick / cheater, right? You're owning it?
Well, in certain situations, yeah, I'll own that one. I have to. How do I have it? It's on tape. You heard me. I confessed.
I love it. I love it. I bet you there's an amount of money that the tape could vanish.
Yeah, but people already heard it. Like, you've heard it.
You never confess, Rico. That's what I don't understand.
I don't know why, Chris.
Why'd you do that in that moment?
I don't. Because I was more...
You lie and deny to the very end. Lie and deny.
Because for some reason I brought that in to prove my case. And by proving my one case, I made myself guilty of something
else.
It's
not like he crumbled and he just crumbled. He was trying to defend himself to make himself look better, and he accidentally brought up the fact that he had cheated.
Let's call this for what it is. You asked me the question, and I actually cheated because I looked on the the rundown.
Look at what has happened.
Oh.
Big cheater. All right, 98.7 ESPN presents. Give me the sexy music, actually, please. Can I get that?
Well, give us the sexy voice, though.
I don't have a sexy. It doesn't exist for me.
You have it, Dave. Go ahead and let it come out.
Everyone has an inner sexy voice. Come on.
98.7 ESPN presents Clubhouse Confidential. Thursday, May the 6th. We're giving 98.7 listeners an inside look at the game with some of the best minds in baseball, featuring number 13, Alex Rodriguez. Matt Vasgersian and Buster Olney. It's all hosted by a man who's dedicated almost his entire adult life to the game of baseball, one Don LaGreca. An exclusive VIP Zoom party talking all things New York baseball. We'll give away some great prizes to boot. Score your VIP access. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. again in a sexy, sexy voice. First caller, 888-987-3776.
You got to speak up.
He's
in a sexy
whispering,
voice.
Though, isn't he? Well,
that's,
yes.
That's like, part of this. It's like the lights out. It gets sexy when you...
No. You can make your tone go a little bit lower, Dave, but that doesn't mean you turn down the volume.
All right, let me try again.
Clubhouse Confidential. Presented by PC Richard and Son. And 98.7 ESPN.
Come on, tell me you're not turned down a little bit right now.
No. No, you, a little you, bit? Just, you were much better the first time, Dave. Much
really?
Better. Yeah,
all
I don't right. know what happened this time around.
It's a work in progress. I'll read this in my normal annoying voice. DCR presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. All right, let's get back to the Knicks calls. 800-919-3776. Steven Chappaqua. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, thanks, guys. First of all, you guys are amazing. This is like Saturday Night Live of sports talk. You mentioned before that for the Phoenix Suns, they added Chris Paul. I think you could say the Knicks added Julius Randle. Obviously, he was on the team last year, but this is a different all-star Julius Randle. They said, I read an interview with Tibbs that his three-point percentage went from 29% to 40%, the highest jump in history. That's Julius Randle working his tail off, getting ready for the season. So I just want to give props to Julius Randle and what he's done. What do you think?
We couldn't agree with you more. I mean, Julius Randle has been nothing shy of sensational this year. And that's on the heels of us really disliking him last year. Like, we used to come into the studio and shake our heads, Rick. Remember that? Julius Randle into the spin cycle. Orange Julius. We used to laugh at Julius Randle.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was not. What we saw from Julius Randle last year is nothing like we've seen this year. Leadership has improved. The shape he is in is improved. His shooting is, not just the three-point shooting, his free throw shooting too.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to make his teammates better.
He's a star player right now.
He's, let's be honest.
He's
going to
be
an all-NBA
player.
He should be an all, he should at the very least be an all-NBA player.
Yeah, I think he should. I think he should be an all-NBA player, Rico, and he's going to be a max contract player this coming offseason. There's no way that the Knicks don't get a long-term contract with Julius Randle done. That has to happen.
Is it fair to say, listen, he's not going to win MVP, and I don't think he should win MVP. Is it fair to say if you take any one player off the team he's on, the Knicks feel it more than anybody?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How many guys in the NBA, with one hand, you can count how many guys in the NBA lead their team in every statistical category? Minutes, points, rebounds, assists. That's Julius Randle. That's what he does for the Knicks.
I mean, that's what LeBron James does.
Yeah, that's what LeBron James does. That's what Joel Embiid was doing, stuff like that. That's what Giannis was doing, stuff like that. Jokic does stuff like that.
You took Embiid off the Sixers. They were okay. They won games. They'd still be a playoff team. You take LeBron off of the Lakers and Anthony Davis is healthy, and they're still going to win games, or vice versa. You take Anthony Davis off and LeBron keeps playing. Like, you could take any of the big three off the Nets, and they're still a team that goes deep into the postseason. You take Julius Randle off the Knicks, they stink.
Well, that's a big difference, though, too, right? I mean, you're talking about, you know, a Philadelphia 76ers team that's, you know, their expectation is to get to the NBA Finals. Like, that's where they think they're at. So if you took off Joel Embiid, they would still be, I mean, with Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, I mean, there's still Seth Curry. There's still a playoff team. Right? But you're talking about, you take Julius Randle off this Knicks team, they're one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
They're a lottery team. They stink.
And now they're in fourth in the East. That's a humongous jump. Humongous. Like, to go from, like, the Sixers be like, what? They go from, you know, you lose Joel Embiid, and you already lost him for a bit with an injury, but you go from, I mean, they're the first
seed
above
now. 500 team.
Yeah, they're probably still right in the middle of the pack, playoff-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6-7, something like that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
You take Randle? I mean, you're talking about the Cleveland, Detroit, and the Knicks.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it really is night and day, man. I mean, this is, but there's so much credit to go around, because it just because a coach comes in, you know, that has the resume that Thibs has, doesn't mean that, you know, naturally every guy, you know, including your best player, is just going to buy into it.
No.
And these guys have embraced
Randle a lot of credit. Because a lot of guys wouldn't have said, you know what, I have to change my game. I have to become the star player on this team. The coach wanted him to be that guy, but he did it, and he wanted to do it. And credit to him, a lot of it.
Now, listen, he's reaping the benefits of it, right?
He's beloved right here. He's beloved. Let's go to Spike, our buddy in St. Petersburg. Good morning, Spike. How are you?
I am so happy. I am so thrilled with the way this team is playing. I'm sorry there's not a game on every night. I know the guys got a rest. But in reference to Thibodeau getting Coach of the Year, right up there, we'll see how it shakes out. They come out of that West Coast trip and they go, you know, 500 or a little better. Who cares? It's an award. Julius Randle's a max contract player now, no question about it, and they should sign him. What he's done, and the end of that game, if you saw it, he went over and gave his wife a kiss. They honored Mike Woodson, and Woody, I know Woody for 40 years when he was a rookie, and Woody had to go back to his alma mater. You get that chance, you got to take it. But he instilled defensive integrity into this team. You can't knock this team out. That's the beauty of watching it. The crap we had to watch, I forgot which one of you fellas said spin cycle. We made fun of a guy who's come down, and that's fine. I give him all the credit. The shape he came in, he's playing good help defense. He's passing the ball out of the trap. He used to go in a corner into the trap, and they moved him up a little bit and get stuck there. And I have, you know, five turnovers and score his 19 points. This is beautiful basketball to watch. How hard they're playing. It seems like it's a different guy in addition to Randle every night. I love the way Thibodeau takes a guy out. Like Barrett the night before, couldn't hit the side of a barn. He only scored 3 points. He missed Graham twice on defensive coverage. He pulled him out and talked to him on the side. Then he comes back in. He made some shots, but everyone thought he had a great game. And you look at the box score 2 nights ago. He had 1 assist, no rebounds, but he scored some points. So
Spike,
this is what I'm saying.
And we could discuss it forever. We got to run, but thanks for the call. They are playing great basketball. They really are. They're playing great basketball, and they are so fun to watch. There you have it, Rick. That's for you. Nick and Elizabeth. Nick, you're next up on 98.7.
All right, guys. I'm not trying to be a hater. I don't want anybody to be mad at me, but I love Julius Randle. I'm actually a Laker fan, but I'm a Knicks fan, too. Love Julius Randle. He's done everything he needed to do to get you guys to where you guys are, or the Knicks to where they are now. My concern is this. Talking about the stability the Knicks now have that they've never had before. Good coaching, good front office, ownership out of the way and stuff. Julius Randle is not a tier one, I'm talking about KD, LeBron, Steph, caliber player. So now you run into a question in offseason whether or not you want to give him that max contract and build the team around him as opposed to bringing in that tier one free agent.
Yeah, but why can't you do both? You got the cap space to do both.
If you can do both,
Julius Randle's a hell of Julius Randle's a hell of a 1B.
Oh yeah,
I don't think any of us disagree with you. If this team's going to win a championship, they need a legitimate number one option.
Yeah, but nobody's sitting here telling you he's LeBron James or Anthony Davis or Steph Curry. Nobody ever said that. But is he great right now? He's great right now, and he's great for this team, and he's exactly what this club needs. All right, Santi, we've had a lot of fun today, and your work is cut out for you. Let's go with the three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR.
I'm going to preface this by saying that the sexy voice Dave Rothenberg would have gotten consideration, but I needed you to speak up. So what I want you to do, Dave, is to work on getting the baritone in your voice.
Okay.
And then bring this back tomorrow and see if you can make a run at it.
I'd like to. On a Friday, I'd love to get one of the three stars. So let me just see what I'm doing. I'm going to practice really kind of projecting a little bit more in the same deep, sexy voice.
Just use the baritone, say it with your chest, as they say.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're not going to get what you want. I mean, Sherry asked you to talk sexy. She got to be able to hear what you want when you talk sexy.
Well, I'll be close to her.
There you go.
I'll be whispering the sweet nothings into her ear. So I get it to work.
Anyway, let me actually get to the segment.
Yeah.
Number three
is going to go to Knobservations. It went from almost being booted from the show entirely because the guy, the creator, the mastermind behind it wasn't really happy, and now we had a great Knobservations, and I think it's here to stay, and I think we'll get better as we go along. So congratulations to Knobservations.
Thank you. It was the Julius Randle of segments.
That's right.
Actually, that's pretty accurate.
RJ tried to ruin it, and you brought it back from the depths. Good job.
Number two.
Another mystery that needs to be solved in time for tomorrow, this number one fan business. Lonnie claims it's him. Many other people got upset. There were tweets. There were messages. There was a lot of calls. whoever this number one fan needs to be, we've got to figure this out by tomorrow. We got Friday. Let's go for it.
I think we should have
number one.
I think we should have a battle tomorrow of Lonnie against someone else that claims to be our number one fan. We ask questions and we see who, in fact, is the number one fan of the show.
I'm for it. Maybe that's your getting to know you. Who knows?
Maybe it is.
Number one star, Tom Thibodeau, New York Knicks. Not only are they in the fourth seed, but they're actually only 3.5 back of Milwaukee with, 12 to play? So, I mean, let's not get too crazy here, but it's just enjoyable to be in a race. And, you know, listen, I'm watching all these Knicks games every single night for obvious reasons. But, I mean, as Dave Rothenberg would say, they're just so much fun.
They are. They are so much fun. Jerry Ferrara is going to join the gang of KJZ in just a moment. Chris Canty in the 9 o'clock hour. Great show. Go Mets. Yankees play tonight as well. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.